Hello and welcome to the Young'uns Podcast. You join me from my bathroom in my flat in Manchester. A lot of people have requested this by popular demand. When are you going to do a podcast from your bathroom, David? So there's going to be no clips this week. It's just going to be me doing a monologue for 40 minutes from my bathroom in Manchester because of popular demand. No, it's not. I'm basically talking to you from my bathroom in Manchester because I can't be bothered to plug in the microphone and set everything up because it seems a bit pointless, because literally all I'm going to be doing is going to be spending probably less than 2 minutes introducing what we have for you this week, which has already been recorded. It's more highlights from our festival in Hartlepool on the Headland that we did a few weeks ago. Last week we had Brassy, our Polish friends, and we had the Wilson family, and we had music and conversation with them. Well, this week we're going to spend 40 minutes in the company of Horizon Award winners at this year's BBC Folk Awards, Greg Russell and Kieran Algar. As part of the festival, we had an hour or so in the company of them. We had conversation and we had music from them, and they've got many a brilliant tale to tell, lots of great anecdotes to share, and lots of great music as well. And so that's what we're going to provide you with for the next 40 minutes. So here we go. We're all assembled in a Baptist church, so the conversation topics maybe can't be as lurid as you might like. You know, we could have got some lurid, sordid details about Greg and Kieran, but there's plenty of time for that. We can do another podcast in the future. But anyway, for now, from the Baptist Church in Hartlepool, this is Greg Russell and Kieran Algar with Music and Chat. I'll see you back in the bathroom in 40 minutes or so.
We were doing this professionally. Greg and Kieran and myself wouldn't have actually met before now, because at least not before today. We'd have been separated in like an individual chamber or an isolated area or something. But we have met. So, but if you can just pretend that we haven't, so make it a bit more charismatic, maybe. But anyway, the three of us, we're just going to have a bit of a chat, basically, and kind of find out a bit more about each other. And we might not like each other by the end of it, you never know. We thought we'd start with a little bit of a tune.
This is a set of tunes called George's. We've just recorded our second album.
All the adverts are coming in already.
Excellent. that cheer wasn't loud enough.
Yeah. Say it again. We just recorded our second album. And that'll be out at some point. That'll be out soon.
I'll take those as pre-orders, by the way.
But yes, on our album we worked up at Fellside again. And we, as well as Paul Adams up there, we worked with a young sort of engineer, helped us out, called George. And he was very shy. For some reason, he wanted no crediting on the album. He wanted sort of nothing to do with it officially.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Is that part of the album? Yeah.
So we named a set of tunes after him. So these are they. Thank you.
obviously afraid of my line of questioning, because that was quite a long set of tunes.
I'm sure that's longer than they normally play. If we play longer, he won't get a chance to ask me any intimidating questions, I think. Was the.
So when you write a set of tunes like that, because you said that was dedicated to George, so do you kind of, when you write a set of tunes, do you just kind of just go diddly-diddly-dee and just sort of write things down like that, or do you try and encapsulate all that George means to you? You know what I mean? Do you kind of sit down and kind of think, oh, right, does that... No, that doesn't really embody George. So what happens? Describe the tune writing process.
We didn't actually write any of them.
You didn't write them? Are you allowed to do that? Can you just steal other people's tunes and just go, there you go, we'll call those George's? They literally are George's tunes. He wants them back.
Just write traditional on them. And then,
right.
Yeah, but they're all traditional tunes.
Okay.
Oh, but no, one of them's written by someone else.
Right.
But
they just needed a name, basically.
Yeah, because you put them together in that order. You do like, how many do you do there? Three.
Four.
Right. Carefully, because you know.
I was too busy watching Kieran's feet. My question would be, when do you decide to do a solo stomp or a double?
The double's when it's really exciting. If my arms are struggling, my feet sort of help out.
You do write your own tunes, though, don't you, Kieran?
I've written one.
You've written one?
Yeah.
You didn't realise?
Is this your whole line of questioning about what
I write? I'm just playing these guys.
Are you aware on your website that it says I've written a variety of songs and tunes?
We've written one song and one tune.
Absolute fraud!
This is unbelievable. Your biography.
45 minutes to fill.
Yeah, exactly. Right, we'll spend 25 minutes on the half of the song and we'll do 25 minutes on the tune.
There's a lot more traditional stuff on there. On the new album, and
how do you go about picking the songs that you're going to do?
Stuff we like, really. Just stuff we like the sound of.
And we change stuff you hear.
We mess around with it a lot, but it's all stuff that we've heard somewhere, basically. And got sort of traditional songs that, like I say, we've liked, and then we've sort of adapted them a bit and messed around with them a bit and forgotten how we first heard them. And that's
so. What, are you the ideas man, Greg? Goes, Kieran, I don't want to cause. I'm deliberately trying to cause fractions here.
Sort of, Kieran certainly brings the tuneness.
Yeah.
And I bring most of the songs, and it's sort of a happy.
My dad osmosis. Brings in the other songs.
Yeah.
Well, we should explain that we first met Kieran when Kieran was 10. And we took part in a New Roots folk competition, and Kieran was exceptional at playing the fiddle. Back then, we knew immediately, big things were, he'd one day be sitting with us in a Baptist church. We knew. So Kieran, you've been playing the. When did you start playing the fiddle?
When I was seven. So 11 years ago now.
And what happened? Because your dad's very encouraging, but was it your dad who essentially said, right, that's it, I need a child prodigy on my hands?
It was sort of, I've always listened to Irish music and folk music, because my dad's really into folk music.
Yeah.
And so when he brought home a violin for me, and...
You just started playing it?
Yeah, pretty much. There we are. That's why I play by ear, I don't really read music as well.
Really?
It was kind of built in already.
Yeah.
So how did you get together, you two?
Met on the internet.
Did meet on the internet.
Was it a dating website originally? I'm looking for someone who can fiddle, he says.
It's true.
Is it?
We met on the internet, yeah. We were made aware of each other through a mutual friend, yeah. And then the wonders of Facebook, we got in touch. And yeah, my dad was delighted when he said I was off to meet someone I'd met on the internet.
Good sense of humour.
Was it like an instant spark when you? I'm talking about musically. Was it an instant spark? What happened? Because why did you decide to play together? What was the?
Well, Kieran at the time lived in glorious sunny Stoke. And
no cheers. And
very rarely gets a cheer, Stoke.
It got more of a cheer than your CD announcement.
And I was in Chester, so it's not too bad. Just down the M6, we got together for a few little plays and decided we enjoyed it. And then I had a few solo gigs, which sort of became duo gigs, and we can't get rid of each other since, really. So it's been, I suppose there was something there from the start, wasn't there, dear?
When I looked into your eyes.
Yeah. Otherwise, otherwise we wouldn't still be doing it, I suppose.
We actually started off with a Mumford and Sons song, didn't we?
Did we?
Please don't shoot us.
Yeah. Oh, God. You can't remember it.
Can we hear that song?
No.
We never played it. I sort of said, can we do this Mumford and Sons song? And he said, no. And we didn't. Oh, no, he said, but we never did it.
Are you sure? You can't remember any of it?
No.
Oh, that's a shame.
We could have
an exclusive.
Give us another song.
If we do a song, what should we do? Is there anything anyone wants to hear?
Why don't you play the only song you've written?
Oh no, we'll save that one for later. No. Has anyone seen us before?
Yes.
Is there anything that anybody particularly...
The call and the answer, the one is...
We haven't brought the concertina with us. The rest of the audience will be pleased to hear.
Oh God.
We can't remember that one.
This is
on the album.
45 minutes to find the song here,
lads. Actually,
do whatever you want.
On our album, we've had a couple of problems with it over the years, because at first, on iTunes and Spotify, if that's where you've heard us, the track listing is wrong. So what you mean by Raglan Road...
No, I actually mean...
Oh, then we're not doing that, no, sorry.
By the dance.
The dance, yes.
The dancing.
Yeah, yeah. What? That's it. You're actually saying yes to a request.
But if you put our CD in some car CD players, it says we're a band called Hot Fingers.
It's not your name, what we've been saying, aren't they? That was your nickname, wasn't it? That was your internet pseudonym. So the dance then. Well, let's say something about this then, Kieran.
So this is
Greg.
It's a song written by a man called Andy Shanks, and he went on a songwriting mission around the UK. He dedicated a couple of weeks and he just travelled around the UK meeting people in an attempt to find material for folk songs. And he was up in Kirkcaldy in Scotland. He went to an old folks home to find material for folk songs. He'd heard Kirkcaldy was an old mining town, so he was talking to the old folks about mining. And after talking to them for about 2 hours about mining, he said there was not a single song in it. And then one of the old ladies mentioned dancing. And this song is about that, autobiographical of that, really. And apparently dancing was the one thing of a time that people had to look forward to, and everyone did it, and everyone went. And there were various halls where there were various different standards of dancing, I suppose. And this song's biographical of that time.
Bike
Codicey War. The sea looks so big, the sky seems so tall, the fates of two people won't matter at all. And tonight the band's playing a romantic tune. I the dancer, the dancing's tonight. I the dancer, the dancing's tonight. I the dancer, the dancing's
We found out about Kieran's happenings on folk music. What about, how did you get into folk music then?
Same really, it was my dad's. My dad was interested in it, enjoyed it. It's the music he listened to. So it was the music on around the house, I suppose.
Your dad is in a band with Mark Radcliffe, isn't he?
Mm.
The Family Mahorn.
He was, yeah. They're not doing anything anymore, but yes. So he was in that and a few other sort of local bands, so... Folk music was around the house, really.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's sort of, like I say, just what I grew up listening to. And then when I sort of started picking up instruments, I suppose it was just natural to want to play or
did
try to play.
Did you experiment with other like instruments?
The first thing I tried to learn was piano.
All right.
I still play a little bit, but not very well. And then a couple of years later, I picked up guitar and sort of learned by watching what Dad did and what other people did.
It's interesting that because people often ask us about did our parents get us into folk music, and the answer is really that we got them into it. apart from your dad who hated
it was brilliant for Michael. I mean, his dad and his mum and dad absolutely hated the fact that he was doing folk music, and you know, he did all these gigs, and even at the stage where he'd done like Cambridge Folk Festival and stuff, they still weren't bothered. And then one day Michael was involved in a school production where he had to sing Can't Take My Eyes Off You, Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, and they recorded this as a video and Michael was just singing it as part of his school. This is when he was a teacher, so we were talking about when he was only about a couple of years ago, and it was Michael's mum and dad's proudest moment. So everywhere they would go, they'd have like the photographs of him doing that. They'd sit, bearing in mind he's a folk singer, and he'd go, have you seen Michael performing? They'd stick this massive video on the bought a special big telly, didn't they?
No, they did, yeah.
And there's Michael
singing spasm.
There's Michael making a mockery of himself going, oh Lord, you pray. Our proudest moment, son.
It's not about us.
Exactly, yeah. Anyway, shall we open it up to the audience?
Yeah, has anybody got a question they'd like to ask Greg and Kieran?
Have you done many gigs together? Hint, hint.
Oh, the five of us?
Oh, yes. Us,
yeah, I mean, because sort of the way that the folk scene is, we're always sort of bumping into each other.
I think we're at every festival we're at this year. You're at as well.
So we do bump into each other.
We have it as a prerequisite, actually. Yeah.
You are
the opposite.
We just really click with these guys because they're like singing and having a laugh like we do. So
no, that's the thing. Yeah, like singing afterwards, like you know, just singing in the pub or whatever. You know, there's no, you know, we just like to do that, or you know, like to get drunk together and have a bit of a laugh. Yeah. So in all the. As we're doing an interview, it seems fit to ask. We get asked some ridiculous questions. Have you ever been asked a...
I've been waiting for this.
A ridiculous... Have you been asked a particularly ridiculous question?
What are you going to call yourselves in 10 years?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I mean, Greg Russell and Hotfingers.
you can't really think of any now, but you do get some odd... odd ones, and yeah, some really strict, like you say, just why do you ask that?
Well, recently, one of the reasons I'm asking, I'm getting to, is because we promised a journalist who asked us what our favourite biscuit was, and I said that we would
custard cream.
Right, any particular reason? I mean, I was hoping for more embellishment. I think we all were, weren't we? What is it about the? Because is it the contrast between the softness in the middle and the hardness in the end?
It's just.
Are you going to write a set of tunes about the custard cream?
It's the ability to be flexible with it, because you don't have to have it all at once. You can separate it fairly easily.
You separate it.
You've got three courses all in one.
I suppose that's a good point. Yeah, and
sounds hard in store.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Do you? Are you a dunker?
I don't drink tea, so no.
You don't drink tea?
No.
Well, there we are. We're learning things now. You see, you thought this was just a silly question, a trite question about biscuits, but we're learning some silly
things. It's like Piers Morgan's life story, isn't it?
Right. You don't drink tea. That's very interesting. Greg, over to you now. What's your favourite biscuit, sir?
I don't know.
You don't know? Come on, you must know.
Digestive.
That's a kind of plain choice, isn't it?
Chocolate digestive or a plain one, Gregory?
Or, even better, a chocolate one with that thin layer of caramel.
Oh. Oh. Yeah. Is it an onion if you can't get everybody here?
That's the biggest round.
Well, you've galvanised everyone. Yeah,
down
yeah.
all afternoon.
So, and would you be dunking this particular biscuit?
I'm not adverse to a dunk.
Personal question.
Go on. Yeah. Is it about biscuits? Because we're not interested if it's not. This is the biscuit part of the...
this is a serious question. I mean, these three chaps have gone for a time, although you wouldn't know it. you two, how do you two stand in terms of the education and next steps and all that stuff?
I'm on a year out from university at the moment, so an academic year, basically. So I would have gone back to do my third and final year down in Exeter in September that's just been. So I've basically taken a year out, so I'll go back in September and continue my studies. And I mean, we'll do it. I mean, Kieran's in full-time education still in sixth form. So, I mean, we do manage to balance it. I mean, I'm doing it full-time at the moment and having a whale of a time and having, I think, more fun than I would be if I was a student. So it'll be difficult to go back. But
I'm only a year off next year to sort of have a go at this full-time.
So hang on, you're in a duo. Yes, you've taken a year off.
We timed it brilliantly. Yeah.
Like a communication.
I think we're both going to... I'm going to give it a go now. So has Greg been putting more effort in this year? Are you all going to put more effort in next year?
Right, it's nice. It works out quite well because, I mean, it means that I can take on... The year out, it means I can take on the boring admin things and things like that. So it works quite well.
Do I have to do that next year?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. So, but then... Have you ideas for the future? Because you're both really successful at this. What are you planning for the future? Are you just going to see how it goes?
See how it goes. I mean, I'd like to give it a go when... I mean, like I said, doing it full-time now, so I know it can work to an extent, so yeah. I'll certainly give it a go, I think, when I graduate, unless... yeah.
Well, you know what will happen. You'll decide you want to. He'll decide he doesn't. The next year, he'll decide you do. You'll be playing catch-up for the rest of your lives.
I think, at the moment, this is... Right. For quite a foreseeable future, as long as you'll have me around, Gregor. Something we've talked about doing is, I'm not making an announcement here, but we'd like to do something with a bigger band, maybe, wouldn't we?
Yeah. Obviously, yeah. Yeah.
Well, we could. If the money's right, you know.
Well, but just branch out a bit into different things. Like Greg's acting and a day's work.
Acting is a very generous
acting. Tell us description of what
I'm
doing. Tell us more about the acting then.
I'm in a folk opera, which is about the First World War, of course, 100 years this year. Really? So we're cashing in on misery, basically. it's written by Mick Ryan.
All right, yeah.
Who's a fantastic songwriter and sort of historian, and he's put together this show, and there's a little bit of acting in it, and it's mainly song.
So what do you play then?
Well, it's basically a sort of a very very basic synopsis is it's three men who get sent off to war and we all have different attitudes to it. There's one who's very keen and very pro-war. There's one who isn't particularly keen but will do what his country tells him to do. And there's me who plays a conscientious objector. And I won't spoil it for anyone who might be seeing it this year. It's at various festivals. I won't spoil it. No spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's very good. I mean, it, for those of you who know Mick, it's written in a way that only Mick can write things. He's a remarkable man. And it's got a good cast.
Greg saying that about the Folk Opera, it reminded me that we were in the Folk Opera once, me and Davey. It was brilliant. It was The Eye of the Wind, written by Richard Granger. I was the young Captain Cook, and Davey was the man who first sighted land.
It was a bit weird when he said, I want you to do a bit of method acting with this one.
Is anyone here an avid reader of the daily, the like local paper?
Apparently, don't start slagging off the mail, though.
Well, no. Apparently, at 6 p.m. tomorrow, there in this church is the Second Coming of Christ.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So, I'll be here.
I don't know about you.
You might be you. Are you Christ?
Any more questions?
Yeah. Has anybody else got a question that I asked?
Can you tell me what's the upper chord? And secondly.
The opera is called A Day's Work, and the cast is Mick Ryan, Paul Downs, Maggie Boyle, Heather Bradford, Matt Quinn, and Pete Morton, and me. And I'm studying international politics and philosophy.
Is there an interesting fact then that you would like to give us all from your political or philosophical?
Not really.
Maybe like a bit of whimsy or something. Come on, who's your favourite philosopher then?
My favourite philosopher? John Rawls.
John Rawls. And tell us a little bit about Rawls.
About him.
Put it into a song, hit your guitar. There's lots of things that rhyme with Rawls.
Should anybody wish to talk about.
So what about John Rawls then?
He wrote a book called A Theory of Justice.
Really?
I think. And
give us a brief synopsis.
It's very interesting.
Kieran, what are you studying in college?
History, music and English. So I'm never going to get a job in any of them.
So you're not music.
Alright.
Show
us
on.
Show us on.
Should we do Marshall Eyes Army?
Yeah.
Ooh. This is a song from... from the North East.
Oh, I didn't know you did that.
I wanted to talk to you guys. How do you guys rehearse?
Always turn the table.
Well, often we rehearse in the car. Obviously, when we're doing the unaccompanied stuff, otherwise that would be a bit dangerous.
Coming the wheel.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you concentrate on playing that guitar?
We rehearse a lot in the car, but often what can happen is you can be lulled into a false sense of security because you can start rehearsing, playing all these songs and you take it out live, you think that sounds really good, and as soon as you perform it live you realise it sounds rubbish because it hasn't got the windscreen wipers and the engine and road rage and people's horns and stuff.
Anyway, the reason I asked is because we never really seem to get time to rehearse. We just sort of do it on the road. We do, when we sound check and things, we sort of mess around with things. And this is a song that I nicked from my dad, and I've always loved it. And it's a song that I sort of knew, didn't really know what it was about. And it's about the Jarrow Marches.
Yay.
And 207 people marched down to London to sort of lobby Parliament in 1936. And no one came to talk to them, no one listened to them. And apparently they were each given £1 to help them get back, so they didn't have to walk. One of the last lines is sort of describes all this. And, can anybody tell me what has changed? And I really like that. So, do you know this one, chaps?
Yeah, I love it.
Please join in. This is Marshall Riley's Army.
So this is a rehearsal for Kieran.
October 36, they took a trip. The men who made the ship, working for some kind of salvation. Heads held high, the banners flying, the townsfolk passing by held them in some kind of admiration. March on, Marshal Riley's army, marching for your rights. In his best men to London town. They all came down, brought with them the curious and deranged. With 80 years since gone past, you're still down there, you're working class. Can anybody tell me what has changed? March on, marching right, he's on, marching right, Julian. March on, marching right, he's on, lessons you thought you had learned. They took a trip, the men who made the ship, working for some kind of salvation. With heads held high, the banners flying, the townsfolk are passing by, held them in some kind of admiration. March on, march on, right, his army, marching the right to Julian.
Lovely. It's just reminding me of a little story. We were doing a concert somewhere, and this fella came over and was telling me the story of why his father, in a, from down south, a rural area, the reason why he always voted Labour and why he always was generous and gave to charity, because when he was a boy, his dad took him to the end of the road in 1936 and watched the Jarrow Crusade pass him with such extraordinary dignity, and even though they had nothing, you know, because it's still there, and even though it's, you know, it's 80 years or whatever, it's still kind of in our living memory up here, isn't it? I'd just like to share that with you.
Have you got any memorable worst gigs?
Yeah, we did a gig, it was fabulous, the Willows Folk Club down on the south coast. Brilliant. Some guy came up to Kieran at the end and said, are you cancerous? And I was sort of taken aback, and he was reading our, he wanted to tell us our horoscopes, but it was fantastic. He came up to Kieran and he said, and he gave him this long list of why he's a cancer, and Kieran went,
no, I'm a Pisces. Oh, right. Well,
it is quite worrying when someone says, are you cancerous? Yeah. But no, we had someone. That's quite weird because we did a gig recently, and someone came up to us, and it was like down the south coast somewhere. Was it like Somerset area?
No,
that was another of the breeding. But it's ridiculous. Thing is, he came up to us and he went, cancer, cancer, and he said, what? You're a cancer. You're a cancer. I said, no. He says, and he went to Sean. He went, Leo, and he got Sean's star sign wrong. Then he went to Michael. He said, Pisces. You got Michael's wrong. And there was a bit of a pause, and he went, you see, the thing about me, lads, and he leant in conspiratorially, and he said, the thing about me is, I make predictions. And we're like, well, surely if that's your party piece, surely the conversation stops when you've made three predictions and then got them wrong. No, he was still bragging about it, so I don't know if it was the same person or not. Very odd.
So, songwriting, you
went
well on the first album. Have you got anything...
There's nothing 100% of mine on the second album. There's a lot more traditional stuff,
right.
A lot more stuff that we're sort of messing around with. I just think I'm rubbish at songwriting. I sort of write something, and there's so many good songs out there. There's so many.
Fantastic. Well,
thank you.
Well, you sing it.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
Shall we do that?
Yeah,
now?
Do.
Right, this is a song I wrote for Queen Elizabeth I of England. And like we started doing some gigs up in Scotland, and this is a song I wrote about Queen Elizabeth I. And someone would always say, "Eh, she wasn't our queen, pal." So yeah, here we go.
Born in September, sat under the tree. She read all the books, she was different from me. When she came to my attention, I watched her each day. The Queen of Old England, my heart stole away. When they told her the news, she watched the leaf fall. Father, she'd loved him, but most of all, she promised she'd be different and hear the people call. Edward and Mary ruined it all. I danced at her court and I watched her smile. Some new tunes from Europe brought home with the piles of gold and of silver. She knighted them gay. The pirates of England, my queen, stole. I gave sound advice, but her heart over my country was my only vice. I was the minority against the old dog. The young man from Paris came through the door. I knew what he wanted, I'd seen his like before. He was charming, he was handsome, I watched his court. Me hope, but I was her favourite, and we danced in the ropes. When I did fall, her counsel came down, her hopes with her lover, the fall of her crown, her hopes with her lover, the fall of her crown, her hopes with her lover, the fall. Thank you.
Did you do a double stamp in that one then, Kieran?
There was the occasional.
You didn't rear up to the double stamp. So I think we've. Do you all feel like you've met Greg and Kieran now?
Yes.
Yeah. And here we do. We know that Greg Russell's favourite philosopher is John Rawls. Kieran doesn't like tea. We've learned a lot, I think, haven't we?
I feel like I've come out of this in a bad light now.
Greg Russell, Kieran.
Ah, just in time. Perfect timing. If it was a couple of minutes earlier, then you might have heard some rather embarrassing audio. Anyway, that was taken from our festival in Hartlepool a few weeks ago on the Headland. Music and chat with Greg Russell and Kieran Algar. We will be back in a week with more highlights from our festival, lots more clips. But until then, from me, David Eagle, and my fellow young'uns, thank you for listening. Goodbye. I shall end with the sound of a toilet seat going down.